This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is BFM 89.9. Malaysia has been downgraded to Tier 3 in the annual US State Department trafficking in persons report this year. Malaysia has been in Tier 2 for the past 3 years, and based on the State Department's assessment, countries in Tier 3 have failed to comply with the minimum standards for eliminating trafficking or make significant efforts to comply.
That's right. And Tier 3, this puts us in company with countries like Myanmar, China, Iran, North Korea and Russia. All these countries which have said don't comply with the minimum standards for eliminating trafficking in persons. So the report is worth reading if you have time, if you have some time to go through. It did say that Malaysia has made efforts to address trafficking. We did prosecute 79 alleged traffickers and convicted 25 perpetrators between April 2020 and March 2021. And the government did adopt victim identification standards operating procedures, which should help in the identification of victims. However, we still fail to differentiate between trafficking and migrant smuggling crimes, and the government still relies on self-identification. They require victims to self-identify to get help, which is a problem.
Of course, there's also the problem of identifying victims, which is one that NGOs have long been calling attention to. So to answer the question of whether the government should be doing better to respond to the issue of trafficking persons, we are now talking to Dr. Hartini Zainuddin, the founder of Yayasan Chowkit, who has spent 15 years working in this area. Good morning, Dr. Tini. The key issue that you highlighted is Malaysia's flaws in victim identification. How do government authorities determine victims of trafficking, and what are the gaps in the process?
Hi, morning, everyone. Well, first of all, to answer your question, there seems to be different standards of identification amongst the different agencies and justice systems. There's no one standardized definition. And despite the release of the National Guidelines on Human Trafficking Indicators in 2020, it seems that the guidelines have not been disseminated or sort of rolled out to the forces on the ground or the DPPs for that matter. So, you know, that's one of the issues. The other issue is that we have not heard of any capacity training post the launch of the guidelines, nor as, you know, if you read yesterday's article in Malaysia Kini as well, one of our colleagues, Sumi, was talking about the fact that there is little understanding of the work coercion in the psychosocial sense of the word. And, you know, there seems to be a lack of understanding of vulnerabilities, which leads to the exploitation by traffickers, especially of women and children, right? So women make up about 60% of all the victims, and children make up about 50%, you know, a large number of these victims as well. So there's no taking into account any of, you know, what they're saying or what they're feeling or, you know, understanding their vulnerability.
Mm-hmm. Tini, what kind of support do victims of trafficking get from the government once they are identified? What can you tell us about whether this is actually adequate?
Well, victims are placed in safe houses where they receive basic support. However, the basic support is not sufficient if we take into account the extent of trauma faced by the victims, or, you know, you strip a person of their dignity. It requires more than basic care. So, you know, if you give them like once a month phone calls, it's not sufficient. Or, you know, you make the excuse that, you know, you can't fund regular communications. I don't know, it shows a lack of empathy for the victims. And, you know, and if the budgets are insufficient, then, you know, there should be measures put in place to increase the amount, because the same excuses have been used over and over and over again. And, you know, we're talking about like 120 ringgit a month allowance here, which, you know, doesn't make up for, you know, people being in detention or cooped up in the safe houses, and this, you know, lack of access to other things, right? So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot, you know. We have to be more victim-centered, not punitive in approach. You know, it's about, you know, getting the perpetrators, but it's not about protecting the victims. It's not about, you know, recognizing that they're victims, you know, that the staff are trained, you know, that you need more training for staff on how trauma of exploitation and abuse are there, you know. None of this is in place. So we really need to sort of implement better victim-centered approaches to be adopted by all agencies, and understanding, you know, and having the same understanding and philosophy and train of thought of who the victims are and what's happening.
Now, one
I can go on and on.
Now, one of the failures cited in the report was the lack of investigation and prosecution of against these TIP perpetrators. Yeah. Now, what are the challenges here in bringing them to trial?
Well, I think, first of all, the DPPs usually cite insufficient investigation or and evidence. And we believe that that this can be solved if the AGC and the enforcement make an effort to get together to discuss how can this can be resolved, or capacitate the agencies on minimum requirements. That's not happening. Also, the testimony of victims are not given enough attention or credence. Prosecution of the perpetrators cannot rely solely, you know, on physical scars. That's what you look at. I'm like, huh? DPPs are not trained to recognize trauma and how to address victims accordingly. And, you know, I'm going to say this, but we need to mention that there is a corrupt justice system where trafficking of persons is being bankrolled from profits from exploitation of vulnerable people. We know this, right? So I think we also need to strengthen the justice system, which seems to be also overwhelmed with too many caseloads and cases. Yeah.
So given what you've all just all described, Dr. Tini, does this indicate that this government is less serious in dealing with trafficking than they need to be?
I don't think they're less serious. I just think they need to be coordinated a lot better. And they need to, you know, we've got this issue, right, about, you know, how we look at migrants. On one hand, we're saying, okay, migrants can be trafficked, refugees can be trafficked, stateless can be trafficked, Malaysians can be trafficked, everybody can be trafficked. But look at the way we treat people here. There's a discordance, there's a discrepancy between the way what we say on one hand in one agency of the same ministry and what another agency says, right? So trafficking is under the Ministry of Home Affairs, but Ministry of Home Affairs is also going around and rounding everybody up. So, you know, let's just be standardized here and let's be clear about, you know, are we serious about improving trafficking? Because if we are, then we need to make sure there's standardized ways in which we sort of identify victims, treat them, and spots. And it's frankly superficial the way we respond to the whole issue of trafficking, right? We launch campaigns, we say all these things, and talk about perceptions and stuff, but we don't do the what's needed. We don't do deepening of actions against crimes at all levels of justice systems. We don't, you know, have the standardized definition of who a trafficking victim is. You know, engage more with CSOs. You know, it's sort of lukewarm, right? We go for meetings, we go for roundtables, discussions. We sit here and say, okay, what are you going to do for the campaign? And we're like, there's a lot more that needs to happen, right? So it's not equal.
That's right. And one final question, Tini, in the little amount of time that we have. I mean, you've given a whole list, a litany of flaws in the system of how we deal with trafficking in persons. What are the immediate steps? I mean, what's something that the government can actually do today or, you know, in the very near future in order to better address trafficking in persons?
Well, first of all, Yayasan Chowkit is not working on this alone. So we're part of a coalition of NGOs and CSOs working on the issue called joining hands against modern slavery, right? Because that's what trafficking is. So, but work better with us, work more closely. So work with us, you know, on a more equal term basis as partners, not as your feeder into information. You know, fund us. You know, we're doing all this because we want to work on the issue. You know, have more interagency collaboration and don't work in silos, right? And then, you know, we have this National Plan of Action on Trafficking in Persons, this NAPTIP thing. But, you know, we need to implement what's there. We need to monitor the progress. We need to do an impact study on how COVID-19 has and will affect vulnerable communities in the next years. We're talking about forced labor here, right? We've got these kids rounded out and stuff. Where are they? What is happening?
Absolutely.
Are they being protected? You know, we do all these things, but we don't talk the walk the talk. You know, we had to strengthen enforcement agencies with training with us, with CSOs, with NGOs. Why can't we get together? We're not the enemy. We're on the same page.
Exactly. Yes. Well, I'm afraid we've run out of time, Dr. Hartini. So thank you for your thoughts. That was Dr. Hartini Zainuddin, the founder of Yayasan Chowkit. And, you know, it really does matter because we have such a huge number of foreign workers in this country and how we treat them is of utmost importance.
I do agree. I really feel like Dr. Hartini made such a good point when she talks about the dissonance in messaging from the government in terms of how we treat people who are being victimized and exploited through immigration, essentially. And I think this trafficking in persons report has been around for a while, you know, and the fact that we're in tier three could have implications. I think that's important to note. So hopefully the government will take serious action on this.
Absolutely. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.